It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
And welcome to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Well, self-publishing has exploded in popularity. If you have or have considered publishing a book of any kind, you know it can be difficult to obtain interest from a traditional publisher. It's especially so for a first-time author. And here to talk about self-publishing is Kevin Gray. Kevin is with Author Solutions, the parent company of a number of self-publishing firms. Kevin, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, how are you, Big JD?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you on the show, and this is a pretty interesting topic, self-publishing. What is self-publishing, and for listeners, and how does it differ from traditional publishing?
Well, self-publishing essentially allows authors to take control of their content, and by that I mean they're not at the whims of a traditional editor that decides whether or not they're going to publish their book, and under, you know, what changes they want to make to the content, that type of thing. The difference in the self-publishing model is that the authors do have complete control and they finance the actual publication of the book.
Okay. And so what is meant also by print on demand? Because you see that a lot with kind of hand in hand with self-publishing, and what are its advantages?
Well, print on demand is really the technology that has led to the increased popularity in self-publishing over the last, last decade or so, but really in the last 4 or 5 years. And the print-on-demand technology is exactly as it sounds. It allows publishers and authors to literally print their books as they're ordered. So whereas a traditional publisher might print, you know, do an initial run of 50,000 copies, ship those out to bookstores, and then be stuck taking returns on any that aren't sold, the print-on-demand model really allows, it's actually a more environmentally friendly model by its nature, but also it's a more economically efficient model. So you get online today, say Amazon, and you order my book, and Amazon literally prints that book and ships that book out to you in a matter of days, and there's no inventory to stock and there's no waste.
That sounds pretty good. Are generally prices for print-on-demand, do they end up being more money or comparable to, what's that?
I think the actual printing may be somewhat more expensive, but it's really negligible when you consider that you're eliminating inventory and you're eliminating the shipping of books back and forth. So in the end, it's really a wash.
Sure. Otherwise, somebody could be stuck with books.
Absolutely. And that's really what has been one of the obstacles with the publishing model in the past is that, bookstore A orders 25 copies of this author's book, they sell 13, then they turn around and they return those to the publisher, and then the publisher has to refund the bookstore, and then they have to pulp the books, essentially recycle them, and you're looking at two shipping costs, the cost of recycling, the cost of refunding, and just it's kind of an outdated model. So yeah, print-on-demand has really provided authors and publishers with a lot more flexibility and really made the process a lot more efficient.
Sure, and I guess especially as we'll talk a little more about first-time authors. So,
absolutely.
Who might decide to self-publish rather than go the traditional route to find a publisher? Do most people try to find a traditional publisher first? Have you seen?
You know, that's really it's an interesting question because the dynamics of that are really starting to change. Now, when I started with Author Solutions about 4 years ago, it was the folks that couldn't find a traditional publishing deal. They were always going out. You know, everybody would go out and look for that traditional publishing deal that involved an advance and then a contract and that type of thing. Now, traditional publishing makes sense for, I think, a smaller group of authors than maybe before. Obviously, John Grisham, Stephen King, J.K. Rowling, those authors that, and a lot of your political authors that you see, it makes sense for them to go and take the $1 million or the six-figure advance. But when you look at mid-list authors, maybe the author that only sells 15, 20,000 copies of their book, you know, and they may only get a $5,000 or $10,000 advance, it's starting to become a lot more attractive to self-publish because, again, you control the content of your book. So you don't have an editor saying, you know, we're going to chop up your novel and this is how we're going to do this. And they also control the rights. So if you're a self-published author, you own your movie rights, you own your foreign rights, you own your domestic rights, as opposed to signing all of those over to a publisher where you may only get a $5,000 or $10,000 advance, which once you take out taxes and the cost of promoting the book, can leave you with nothing or very little.
Sure, that's obviously something that is very important. I guess even with first-time authors is actually keeping rights to your material.
Absolutely, and it is an attractive thing. We've had a couple of our books in the past we've had countless books that have been picked up by traditional publishers, but we've had a couple of our books in the past, some that have been under our Author House imprint, that the movie rights have been purchased. You've probably heard of the Legally Blonde franchise. There's been several Legally Blonde movies. That was a self-published book under our Author House imprint originally.
Wow.
And that movie company decided to buy those rights, and I'm sure the author profited quite nicely from that, judging by the success of that franchise.
Yeah, I guess that's something people have to realize, that if your book gets picked up and you are with a traditional publisher, you know, you got to wonder how much of that are you going to see, because somebody else owns the rights, right?
Absolutely. So what you're really doing is you're trading out the long term for a short term gain.
Right.
And again, if you're a one of the upper crust, the 0.1% of authors that get that gigantic advance, that probably makes sense. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it definitely is worth looking at the self publishing model.
Self-publishing seems like a great idea for private works as well. I mean, for schools, businesses, maybe family memoirs as gifts and things like that. Is that a good format for those kinds of things as well?
Absolutely. We've seen an explosion in family memoirs, for example. It is something that's become popular really in the last few years as the baby boomers start to get to that point in their lives where they have some disposable income, they have some time to sit down and maybe put together a family cookbook or a piece on the family genealogy. And, you know, obviously these are publications that are going to appeal to a small audience, but it provides them a unique opportunity to share something with their family, create a legacy, you know, as these folks start to look down the road at what am I leaving behind for my family. And obviously a traditional publisher isn't going to, you know, publish someone's family memoirs, unless, you know, you're a Kennedy,
sure,
for example.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we see a lot of that. Now, with businesses, absolutely. That's another area that's been growing. We see explosive growth in that as more folks go off on their own and start their own business or become consultants. It's a growth. It's an area that we call the book is a business card phenomenon, which really, you know, if I'm an independent speaker, let's say, I'm not as concerned about selling copies of my book, but I can use them as a promotional tool to, you know, book speaking engagements or consulting jobs, that type of thing. So we've definitely seen a lot of that growth as well.
Mm-hmm. And in the past, and I think you touched on this briefly as you were speaking earlier, in the past, self-publishing was looked at as maybe not even being published or as vain, maybe. How's that mentality changed?
Well, I think, you know, if you go back further into the history of what self-publishing once was, the vanity publisher, which essentially served as a printer, you provided the content, probably already typeset, and a publisher or a vanity publisher would print a required minimum number. They might say, you know, we do it in groups of 1,000, or you've got to purchase 5,000. And then authors would put these books in their garage. They weren't given they weren't put into the traditional distribution channels.
Right.
Where the current model, the print-on-demand model, you know, if you were to self-publish a book tomorrow with, let's say, iUniverse, that book is put into the same distribution channels as, say, John Grisham's next book would be.
Mm-hmm.
You can jump on Amazon.com and purchase your book, or Chapters Indigo up in Canada is also a group that we have a partnership with, as well as traditional bookstores, as they are still, they're disappearing, but they do, of course, still exist. They can order those books and stock them as customers ask for those.
Right. Now, I think, aren't some traditional publishing houses offering authors self-publishing packages too? I think that you work with some of the bigger companies that offer that, as well as having, I guess, like signed authors.
We do. If you talk about a traditional publisher, you can imagine how many hundreds a month, or even thousands over the course of a year, of manuscripts they receive. And
sure.
And in general, a traditional publisher, because of the investment of printing books and sending them out and offering advances, they may only be able to do 100 or 200 different titles in a given year. So what you've got there is you've got several thousand, or, you know, let's say the other 98% of the manuscripts that they receive that are rejected. So what we've done is we've formed partnerships with some forward-looking traditional publishers, Thomas Nelson, for example, mm-hmm. and we've helped them launch self-publishing divisions. And essentially the way that works is, so take Thomas Nelson, which is their leading inspirational and religious type publisher. So they take the 1 or 2% of books that they want to put into their traditional publishing channels. And then for the rest of those authors, they say, you know, we've got this self-publishing model. It's affiliated with us. And those authors, if they choose, will go into Thomas Nelson's self-publishing division called Westbo Press, publish their books, and if they exhibit success, retail success, or, you know, the book attains some level of critical success, then Thomas Nelson may later on choose the option of picking them up for their traditional imprint.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of it as like a hockey team that has a junior league team that it pulls from, or a minor league team that it pulls from. It's almost like there's a farm system now.
Sure.
And it helps with, I think it helps the traditional publisher, because these unknown authors have the opportunity to prove themselves before the traditional publisher makes an investment. And as well, it also gives these new authors some different avenues to work towards that traditional contract, if that's, mm-hmm. that's what they eventually want to accomplish.
It seems like a great way to produce a book and make it available to be purchased. But then what? Some companies, I guess, will self-publish your book and print the material, but they don't offer anything else. And, you know, I guess you're kind of totally on your own, but which has to be tough. And I know that through Author Solutions and your child companies, I think that's a lot different. They offer many different services along the way, right?
Well, yeah, the needs the needs of each author are really individual. Some authors do come to us just to publish the book. You know, they might be experts in promotion or marketing, or they're just really creative.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of authors, and I would say the vast majority of authors, do look for some kind of promotional services, whether that be that public relations or social media help, or you know, producing press kits or putting up a website or creating a video trailer. And that's something that we've done at Author Solutions with our imprints for years, is we've created a expansive suite of probably hundreds of services and products to help authors market the book. And it's, you know, they're sold on an a la carte basis. So an author can really find something, or find what they need to fit their budget, and also to help them reach their marketing goals.
Right. That's what's nice about it, is that they can take certain services and, you know, I guess not take some of the things that, you know, they don't think that they require, possibly, or?
Absolutely. And it allows them to target the audiences that they're reaching out, try to get the attention of it. If they have a book that might appeal to, say, a younger generation that spends more time on social media, they may choose to contract Author Solutions mm-hmm. For social media services rather than maybe the traditional print and paper press release or press kit creation kind of services.
Yeah, I'd like to, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about PR and some of those things. And as well, a little bit about some of the services that are available if they so desire those. And we'll be back right after this.
Okay.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Okay, we're back. I'm talking to Kevin Gray from Author Solutions. And I want to first talk a little bit about some of those services that are available. And like you say, they're a la carte. Maybe not everybody requires them, but it's important to know that there is help every step of the way if they so desire. I mean, for everything from illustrations and cover design to the publicity, promotion, and all those kinds of things. So I'd like to just maybe, you know, have you talk a little bit about some of these services.
Right. Well, again, like you said, they cover that whole spectrum, soup to nuts, so to speak. You know, it's amazing as I walk around the ASI offices to see the diversity of the marketing and promotional and creative staff that we have on hand. You know, you walk by one area and there's these just super talented artists doing watercolors and oil painting illustrations for a children's book, and then you'll go to another area where you've got a group of experienced publicists working to promote books, and you know, we have a group that does websites and a production group that does film trailers and that type of thing. So it's really amazing the different options. It's, you know, I think somebody asked me one time, what does a promotional program for a self-published book from Author Solutions look like? And I said, well, it's as unique as the author that writes the book.
Sure.
And there's just, and you know, with the explosion of social media, we've seen recently, really in the last year or two, an increased popularity in using video to promote books.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other areas we've gotten into recently also is we have a service that makes books into apps for iPods and iPod Touch, iPads, and iPhones.
Oh, right, sure.
And that has become extremely popular, especially with authors of children's books.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing some of our talented folks create full animations of books, it's almost like, what is a book anymore? You know?
Yeah, true. So
multimedia.
So you actually make the books available to be read on these devices, but also make apps that are somehow these multimedia apps that are... Maybe are they even interactive or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some of the apps that we have, some of the children's books where you can set it for the illustrations to be black and white, and then you have kind of like a paint pad where you can, you know, someone can use their finger and virtually paint the pictures different colors. You know, there's sound and there's moving animation. Well, yeah, moving animation and myriad different options for these books, and it really gets blurred the lines between you know, what is a book and what is a video or multimedia presentation.
Yeah, technology is amazing. You mentioned that inside Author Solutions, I mean, I guess in the actual building and whatnot, you're a lot of these services that are offered, they're done in-house, basically. I mean, you don't outsource for these things. You have people there doing all these different things.
Yeah, within Author Solutions, we do most of our work in-house.
Wow.
You know, at one of our offices, and one of our main headquarters is actually located in Bloomington, Indiana, which is home of Indiana University,
mm-hmm.
and that gives a real pool of talented folks in the arts and in copy editing and all the different disciplines that we need. We're very fortunate to have a lot of those folks right there. You know, as they finish their education, they'll come right over and work for us. So it makes for a very dynamic work atmosphere and a lot of talented professionals in a lot of different fields all under one roof.
Yeah, that's great that it's all in-house. I was surprised, actually. I thought that some of that stuff might have been outsourced. And I want to talk a little bit about the possibility, which is something you kind of mentioned as well, of getting a book deal after you've been self-published. Is that something that happens occasionally?
It is something that happens. You know, I would say it's rare, based on the number of titles that we self-publish, but a traditional deal is rare anyways, unless you're a proven author. But we do have stories of authors that have self-published and been picked up by larger publishing houses. We have had authors that have been self-published and have been offered deals with middle-sized publishing houses and have actually turned them down to stay in the self-publishing world so that they can maintain their rights. Several years ago, an author named Lisa Genova, who's actually out of the Boston area, had written a she's got a PhD in neuroscience, and she'd written a novel about a neurologist who is afflicted with early onset Alzheimer's, and how this person is able to relate to knowing what's going on in their own brain. The novel was got a lukewarm reception from publishers and agents, so she decided to self-publish it. And once she did, she got it out there and started getting some really solid reviews and selling a lot of copies. And another agent got a hold of it, and a bidding war actually ensued, and she ended up signing with Simon & Schuster at a mid to high level six figure advance. And the book actually, upon re-release, debuted at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Great.
So it really does show that, you know, that there is, you can work your way through the system and use self-publishing as a vehicle to get to where you want to go if traditional publishing is where you aspire to end up.
Now, on the other side of the coin, after being traditionally published, even, you know, early on in someone's career, do they go to self-publishing after it all?
That is happening in some instances. Author House actually re-released a series of books that had been written by Harold Robbins, the famous novelist from the 60s and 70s and I guess the 80s. His books had gone out of print, and his widow had regained the control of the rights, mm-hmm. and rather than trying to put them back in print for a traditional publisher, she brought back, I believe, a dozen titles through Author House. Now, Harold Robbins is the most prolific selling novelist of all time. He sold over 750 million copies of his books have been sold around the world. So, yeah, it was an opportunity for her to get his work out to a new generation. And as well, she was someone who was interested in e-book technology, which, of course, didn't exist when Harold first released these books. And she was excited to be able to get these books out in ebook form so that they could be read on the Kindle and Kobo and those types of platforms.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do self-publishing companies hold contests at all?
We do have occasional writing contests, and we encourage folks to keep an eye on our Twitter feeds and our Facebook pages for those. Again, occasionally have some contests as far as submit your idea for a book, and you might win a free publishing package. Do a lot of those through writing contests and writing conferences. One that we've been affiliated with in the past, San Francisco Writers Conference. We actually did an INDIE writing contest this past February with them, and got some great entries and awarded some folks some publishing opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Author Solutions itself, maybe some of your partner companies.
Yeah, Author Solutions is the parent company of four well-known self-publishing imprints, those being Author House, iUniverse, Ex Libris, and Trafford Publishing, which actually got its start in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
As well, we have partnership imprints with, as I mentioned earlier, Thomas Nelson. We have a self-publishing division with them called West Bow Press. We also have a partnership with Hay House out on the West Coast. They are more kind of new age type of books, that imprint being called Balboa Press. And we've recently launched a partnership called Abbott Press, and it's a partnership with Writer's Digest.
Huh?
The well-known trade publication for writers. We also, about a year or two ago, we launched a Spanish language imprint called Polibrio. The Spanish language market is growing quite quickly, especially down here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to be able to serve those authors, and that's been very popular. We've expanded overseas over the past few years. Author House has a United Kingdom office that does a lot of work in Europe and the UK, obviously. And our Ex Libris imprint has started serving Australia and New Zealand. And what we're seeing in those markets is that that they're a little bit behind the U.S. and Canadian markets as far as understanding self-publishing, but a lot of potential for growth there, a lot of authors that want to get their books out.
Wow. You talk about expanding. Can self-publishing itself also be expanded? I mean, when you talked about apps earlier, that obviously a great new technology to take advantage of expanding, what you do in self-publishing. Is there anything else that we can, maybe see in the future happening?
I think we've seen, obviously, ebooks over the last 2 to 2.5 years have become popular. I know Amazon, for example, reports now that they sell. There was a report that came out about this time last year, and I'm sure it's gotten even more, grown even more, that they were selling about 180 ebooks for every 100 hardcover copies they were selling. So obviously, the ebook platforms are growing almost daily. So we're seeing that the apps, the growth in apps, is a big thing that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what the next technology is going to be? It's almost hard to imagine what will come next, but I'm sure there'll be something down the road.
Right.
And the flexibility of self-publishing allows us to adapt to those new platforms and make those avenues available to our authors.
So I guess at this time it's kind of unknown, eh?
Really is. Where's technology going to go next? But the great thing about it is, as I said, the flexibility of self-publishing. As technology changes, we grow with it and we change
right.
with it.
Where can listeners go for more information on self-publishing?
You can check out www.authorsolutions.com. Mm-hmm. Some of our core imprints that I would send folks to would include authorhouse.com and iUniverse.com, spelled the letter I, universe.com. If you Google Author Solutions, there's some great news stories really from the last 2 to 3 years when we've really seen self-publishing explode and in popularity. And it's just incredible what's happened with this industry.
Great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, Kevin.
Hey, well, thanks a lot, Big JD. And if any of your listeners are interested in self-publishing, I'd like them to check us out. We've got options to fit just about every author.
Great stuff. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Oh, what a great way to get your written works on the market. And from what I've seen, you can do that relatively cheap, depending on the services that you need. And next week, I'll have Ida Bird Hill in the studio to talk about your debt. See you next week, and thanks for listening.